Revelation 21, verse 8. Now, we read these verses in Greek first. And what I've told people, and Jim can attest to this. He just walked in back there. How long have you been coming to this class, brother?
It's been a couple years now.
It's been more than that. About five, four? About 5 years, something like that. And I promised them in the beginning, I said, you're going to learn Greek, and you won't know how you learned it, because you're going to learn it by exposure. We study from the Greek text, that is the inspired text that God has given us His Word in. And we'll study from Greek, and you'll become familiar with these words. We'll find out how that these terms came into the English language, where they came from. And all of a sudden, one of these days, you'll be able to pick up an interlinear and just read that off. And Brother Ken, are you there yet? You can read quite a few of them, though, Ken.
I can read some words.
How many of you can take it up, pick it up now that I've been here? Jim, you can do that, can't you? He's been coming. If you'll spend some time and come regularly to the class, and study this, look at the interlinear while you're here, and studying an hour of this every week, you're going, and this class runs 12 months a year. It never quits.
During the summer, too?
During the summer also, yeah. Anyway, we'll read this in Greek again, and then we're going to go back and study a few words that we have. We had some of this last week, but Brother Jim called my attention to one word, and I ran over it because I didn't have the information. I thought I had it down here, and I did not. And it says, tois, they, de lois, kai, apistois, kai, eb, dul, lug, menois, kai, bonusen, kai, pornois, kai, pharmakois, kai, idolatris, kai, fossum, tois, sudusen, tol, meros, alton, en, te, limne, te, poimene, kai, deo, ho, esten, ho, thanatos, tol, deuteros. Oh, wait, Puri. All right, I did miss it.
You missed Puri.
And that means...
You missed the last time, too.
I did last time, too. I wrote it in this time. That's the fire. All right, Puri.
The fire.
How many of you ever looked at these old marbles that were, and they call them Puris, that were clear, and a lot of them were red? That's where this word Puri comes from, this word fire. It was like fire. Like a liquid, or like a fiery little color. And then it says, but to the ones cowardly. Now, we looked at this word last week, this delois. Remember, I called Brother Jim the other day, and I apologized to him right the next day, didn't I? And I had looked it up that night, and I had it in some of my writings, and I didn't have it in this one, and I don't know why. I thought it was here. But do you remember what this word cowardly means? Why would God cast cowardly people into the lake of fire? Just because they're cowards.
And they won't stand up.
Except
Jesus.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
they didn't have bones to Jesus.
The term goes apostate, reprobate. The term reprobate. Mm-hmm. How about the term reprobate? What does the word reprobate mean? That was a term that people used 50 and 60 years ago a lot. You don't hear about many reprobates today. But what does the word reprobate mean? One that denies the faith because of fear and intimidation. Alright? One that denies and stands away from the faith because of fear and intimidation. Back in the early church age, as the church went out from Jerusalem and went throughout into all the world, in 251 A.D., Cornelius and Novatian in Rome, two pastors, had an argument. some of the people that had left the church and gone back into paganism because of fear had later come back and wanted to join the church. Well, so many times back then, when you they would take you and hold a knife at your throat and say, deny the faith. And if you didn't really believe, this separated the men from the boys, so to speak, the believers from the non-believers. Many of the believers died. Many of the believers saw their children killed before their eyes and would not deny the faith. A lot of those people denied the faith. Not only did they deny the faith, but they told it. They said, well, who do you go to church with? What's all their names? What's the pastor's name? What's the deacon's name? What are the church workers' names? And they told them to save their life. And it cost them their lives. So an ovation says, we are not going to accept in our churches anybody that has denied the faith. That is delois. They cannot come back without being publicly baptized again. They put Christ off publicly, they're going to have to put Christ back on publicly, and of course if they did that, guess what? The death sentence was back. This is what that term is. And Cornelius said, oh, we'll just take them. So there was a great split among churches at that time, and the church of Rome went with Cornelius instead of Novatian. And that's where some of the early Baptists were called Novatians. You remember that, Sister Blaine? In church history, these people were called Novatians because they believed that a person should not deny the faith and come and be allowed to come back in the faith because they had cost people their lives. And they had publicly denied Christ. And they believed that if a person was a real believer, that he would not do that. The apostates, the cowards. What book in the New Testament did I title the Book of the Apostates? Remember which one that is? I've referred to it many times. I don't know if some of you have been listening to me teach very much. But can you remember what that book is? You're thinking about preaching from that book, brother.
Jude.
The Acts of the Apostates. Those that are cowardly rats that have stood away from the truth. But the cowardly and the unbelieving. Now, somebody that is a reprobate, they became reprobate. They were denied the faith because why? They were not believers. That's why they denied the faith. Unbelieving. This word comes from pistois, all right? And it comes from another root, which is piston, which means to cling closely to cling with all your might. And our word piston in a car. It has the same idea. The piston fits tightly into the cylinder, and the compression, it won't build compression unless it clings tightly with it. If it's loose, it won't do it. Car won't run. This word faith here, pistis, it has to cling tightly. How many of you watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Oh, the Last Crusade.
All right. Remember when Indiana Jones, he went through this, crawling through this area where this thing tried to chop his head off, and he got out there, and then he looked, and there was a great chasm, a gulf, between there and where he had to go, and his father was over here dying from a gunshot wound, and he had to go over there and get this cup, which is the Holy Grail, which is all make-believe anyway, but... but this is the story. But this was an act of faith that he performed right there.
Step of faith.
There was a... That's what the step of faith is. Yeah. When you trust God and you put all of your sins upon the Savior. When Indiana Jones walked out there, here was this great thing, and it said you had to walk out here. And it showed this guy walking, and he just looked like this, and there was something there that his foot fell on. I mean, it looked like it was nothing. And he saw this invisible bridge. Christ is that invisible person. Mm-hmm. All of us will answer for our sins. Mm-hmm. Won't we? Mm-hmm. If we don't cast them upon Jesus. All mankind, he is a sin eraser. But when you have called upon him, There is no salvation outside of repentance, is there? Now, you just don't do what you want to after you've been saved. But, I mean, a lot of people just accuse Baptists of them once saved, always saved, and they just leave you just going and get saved and just sin all you want to. Somebody does that, it's not saved. That's as simple as that. God fixes your want to. I mean, you can slip off in the sin and everything else, but God's going to whip you back in line. And you'll know that you're not going to be happy in sin. That's not where you live. It says the unbelieving, and then it says, and ones having become vile, foul, blasphemous, stinking. Stinking people. Stink with what? Sin. Sin is smelly and corrupt. I talked about here a while back, talked about hell. This is the abode, file 13, of all of the garbage pit of humanity and the angelic and demonic forces of the whole universe. This is the garbage pit of all. When you're born again, and when you're resurrected from this earth, from the ground after God has resurrected your dead body, it's going to be completely different. It's going to be without any sin, without any pain, without nothing is going to be able to touch it that will harm it. It is an uncorruptible, unstained, clean body, spiritual body. But those that are resurrected in the second resurrection, the resurrection of the dead, their bodies are going to be corrupt still. All the pain that they died with, all the disease is going to be there, but it will last forever. The pains that they died with and the thrills of death will be with them for all eternity. They cannot die. They cannot die. The book of Revelation gives us a period of time in there when people seek to die and they can't even kill themselves. They call the rocks to fall upon them, and they can't. This is only a little taste of hell to come. And then it says murderers. Fulnerusim. These murderers. Who was the first murderer in the Bible? Cain. And this is the most outstanding thing that you can ever talk about disappointment. Adam and Eve, their firstborn son was Cain, and they named him Cain, and Cain means gotten. And Eve says, we have gotten a man, even the Messiah. Because God had promised her that she was going to have to bring forth the Messiah. She thought it was going to be the first child she had. This is going to be the Savior. And she said, we have gotten a man, even the Messiah, the Lord. I think the King James says, with the help of the Lord or something. That's not a good translation. It is, we have gotten a child, even the Lord, even the Messiah, even Jehovah. Well, this gotten one that they got turned out to be the first killer, the first murderer in the Bible. Now, if he went on to hell, if Cain is in hell today, he's just beginning. And that was almost 6,000 years ago. Hell is just beginning for Cain. And that's 6,000 years of murderers and fornicators. Prostitutes. Adulterers. You know, God created sex within the human race to attract mates. But sex is in the boundaries of marriage. Paul said that this was good, that God created this. This was a good thing. The book of Hebrews says the marriage bed is undefiled. The drawing between two people that make them become one flesh, this is beautiful. But the world perverts and twists this up until it is something perverse and crooked and unnatural. Completely. God created this, but man and Satan has perverted it. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is turn on the television or the radio, whatever. I hate to watch public television. I just won't hardly do it. I just turn it off every chance I get. I can't stand to watch public television because it is constantly perversion. They take what God made pure and perfect and holy and make it unholy and crooked and twisted. And then it says drug addicts, pharmakois. We got our word pharmacy from this word. Drug addicts. Well, back during the time that when this book was written, they didn't know much about drug addicts. But boy, it's the world today, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've said many, many times that the United States government would get out of the drug business if they could stop it. And listen, just think about that one for a while. Where are they getting all the money to support these third world armies and things? Think about it. Down in Panama, the big problem they had down there a few years ago was all over drug money. I went to school in the seminary with a man that the CIA put in the seminary there where I went to school in Bellflower, California. They put him there and told him he was going to surrender to priest. He went there and he got his doctorate, PhD. And he went down into South America. Costa Rica. And he went through all of the motions. He founded churches down there, did all kinds of scriptural things. And all of a sudden there was a big blow up down there. He wanted to get out of that mess. He got saved in the meanwhile. And he didn't know what to do. He just went plumb nuts. It's there. It's among us. We see this. He was down there to work with the drug traffickers for the United States government. Drug addicts. Drug trafficking. And then it says, and idolaters. That word idolatry comes right out of this one, doesn't it? Idolaters. People that worship things instead of God. Then it says, and all the ones liars. And I said last week, the professional liars. Why, our whole country is plagued by lying lawyers. I told a story one time and said, what do you got when you got a lawyer up to his neck with cement? Not enough cement. They absolutely have perverted what is called justice. They protect the criminals.
That's right.
Instead of the innocent. We, politics. Politics. Politicians. The only thing wrong with politicians, most of them started out as lawyers. That's the absolute truth.
Well, one of them can't be a lawyer anymore.
Yeah.
The former president.
And then it says, and they will have their part in the lake of fire, the one burning with fire, that's Piri, and Theo. What's that word Theo there?
Brimstone.
Brimstone, sulfur. How many of you ever played with a flare? That's hot stuff. You can take a fire and burn a hole right through that with it. That's what the lake of fire is. And the bodies of those that will be in the lake of fire, the Word of God calls their bodies asbestos bodies. How many of you ever fooling around with asbestos? You know, I mean, it's illegal to fool. I've got a roll of it home still someplace. But you can't burn that stuff. It won't burn. It won't burn. It's there, and the heat doesn't affect it. That's the way the bodies of those corrupt bodies that are resurrected are going to last in hell like asbestos does in fire. It will receive the heat but they will last forever and ever. That's sad stuff, isn't it? Because nobody has to go to hell.
That's right.
People go to hell because they reject God. One song you have there, the two ways. The crossroads and life. It says, which is the death, the second death. The second death, double death. You know, when you're born into this world, you're born to die, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're related to Adam. We're born to die. And if you come to the age of accountability and you keep going that way, the Apostle Paul said, when I was young, I was alive. But when the law came, I became dead. When we know the difference between right and wrong, we become dead. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers all little children. I don't know if there's any hyper-Calvinists in here, but they hyper-Calvinists teach some are born to die and some are born to life. But the Word of God teaches that little children are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Until they come to the age of accountability, and some people never come to that age. They mentally can't do it. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers them. That's truth from the Word of God. In a lot of places.
Can you say that again?
The blood of Jesus Christ covers all individuals in this world until they come to the age of accountability. When they come to the age, Paul said, when the law came into my heart, I died. He became dead. He was separated from God. And he was on his way to hell, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Except God struck him down on the road to Damascus and blinded him and told him how blind he was. He was religious, wasn't he? Just think about Paul. What does the word Pharisee mean?
Separate.
Okay, what's the Hebrew word? You. Comes from Pharisee. Pharisees. In the Old Testament, the handwriting on the wall said what? Many, many people eupharson. Okay? The word eupharson, that means separated, divided. Okay? Pharisees were separate from all the other people because they were super holy. There was a holy bunch and there was a super holy bunch. And then Paul was of the super holy, holy bunch. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the elite of even the Pharisees. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. We even spoke Hebrew in my home. Real Hebrew. That wasn't very well known at that time. But he was dead. He was religious and dead. There are a lot of people going to churches tonight in Bakersfield that are dead in their sins. And their religion is binding them to death. Paul was bound to death because he had rejected Christ. Where was he when they stoned Stephen to death? Stephen's gate, the eastern gate over there in Jerusalem. This is where they stoned Stephen the gate. I mean, there at the gate, they stoned him to death. He was out there preaching. And at first, they liked what he had to say because he was talking about all the promises that God had made to Israel. And he got their attention. And all of a sudden, and you crucified the God of glory, he told them. And they went right at him and started stoning him to death and biting him with their teeth. And it said in the perfect tense, they just kept on biting him and chewing on him like wild dogs on Stephen. Hate. True religion doesn't persecute other people. We preach the truth and let the mop flop, which ain't the way the mop flops. That's nothing else you can do. The Holy Spirit, if He won't do it, you may as well give up. Okay? You can't hold a knife to the throat and make them be baptized or say, I believe. Forget it. My wife was looking at bumper stickers as we come to church. It said politics and church religion don't mix. The last one was when we had burnings at the stake. You can't institute morality. Morality comes by change of heart when you have a new heart. Okay? 21 and verse 9. New Jerusalem. Jerusalem means what? Jerusalem. Comes from the word shalom, doesn't it? All right? Jerusalem. What does that mean?
City of peace.
City of peace. Has Jerusalem been the city of peace?
No.
You had that one down, didn't you?
No.
Never. How many times has the city of Jerusalem been destroyed? I think 19 times. 19 times that it's been leveled in history. Completely leveled.
You build it back up.
I mean, and they build it back again. And we've got problems over there right now. And we're over there just sending our guy over there telling people how to run the Middle East.
Yeah.
What a joke.
That's about it.
What a joke.
That's just about it.
I mean, that's a joke. The problem over there is religion. The religion is at the root of that problem. That's it. That's the problem. And false religion will kill each other if they have enough power. You don't believe it? Look what Catholicism did for over 1,000 years. If you don't believe it, look what Islam has done over there for over 1,000 years. Proof is in the pudding. False religion murders people. False religion starts wars. How many of you ever heard of the Christian Crusades? They weren't Christian, I can tell you that right now. Religion sometimes damns people. The word religion, religion, it's a beautiful word. Okay? And it's made up of a prefix and a root word and a suffix. The suffix means the act of. And the word ligare is what it comes from. What do you think that means?
It's to bind.
It means to bind. That's where you get the term ligament from. And then what does RE on the front of it mean?
Again.
Back again. Now let's the act of binding back again. Man fell away from God, and because of what Adam did, all of us inherently go away from God, don't we? Because we're all Adamic. If you want to study something, study the 3rd Titus 3 and 2nd Timothy 3, and it will give you a list the sins of Adamic mankind.
What is it?
2nd Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and Titus, the 3rd chapter. Read those 2 chapters, and even 2 and 3, and you will see the Adamic sins listed, especially if you've got a language Bible or something that tells you a little bit about, like, Greek and Hebrew study Bible or something. It will list those sins, and it's talking about the world today. 21 and verse 9. Kai, Elthane, Ace, Ek, Tone, Hepta, Angelon, Tone, Ekonton, Tas, Hepta, Philos, Tone, Gamonton, Tone, Hepta, Plagon, Tone, Eskaton, Kai, Elalason, Met, Emu, Legon, Dero, Dexo, Soy, Tane, Lubthane, Tane, Gineke, Arnu. Long verses. And one came out up from among the 7 angels, the ones having the 7 bowls, the elos, 7 bowls. This is containers. The ones filling the seven, are filled with the, being filled with the seven plagues, plague on. What? You see how that came right straight into the English language, the word plague? What does the word plague mean? We heard about the Black Plague in history. Black Plague in history? What other kind of plagues?
Bubonic.
What?
Bubonic.
Yeah. The Bubonic Plague. Oh, my friend, Walt West, he's dead now. He died from this problem. He worked for Marathon Oil Company, and they were up in Four Corners seeking for Shell oil. Shell. Strata. And they uncovered something there that was horrific. There were 50 immediate men on this team, and about 38 of them died within 2 weeks when they uncovered this area. Hantavirus.
In shale area.
Hantavirus.
What's it?
Was uncovered. Hantavirus.
What is it?
It's a flu. It's a type of a plague.
You mean it was in the shale?
It was in this area. Something, mice had died in this area, and years ago, they think the Anasazi died of this plague. Remember all the cliff dwellers and stuff up in Four Corners and all through this area? This, you're not going to hear what I'm telling you at all, because it's been covered for a month. This is what you call a cover-up. This has been covered up. Marathon Oil Company went into that area, and Walt went in there, and he was basically one of the supervisors of the thing. Walt got it. They all ended up in intensive care. Many of them died. I think 12 people out of 50 lived. Walt told me, he said, if that ever gets spread from there, he said, you'll never hear about it. But if it ever spreads from there, people are going to die. There are only going to be 1 out of 100 or so live in this. And guess what? Hantavirus is all around through here. It's spread by what they call the deer mice. And they spread all the way from Four Corners to here. You won't hear the origin of this, but that's where it originated. I wouldn't know that if Walt had not told me.
Is that in this area right now?
It's in this area. It's in the high country right now from the deer mice. When I lived up in Fish Lake Valley, they started having seminars up there, putting out posters and things. It says, don't go into any old buildings at all, any old line shacks or cowboy buildings at all. Stay away from them. Your life is a danger. You can die because the droppings of these mice carry. It doesn't affect them.
They had droppings?
Mm-hmm.
The
droppings.
You didn't hear them once a while.
It is deadly.
And they said
there was one man that came over there and went down to the hot tub in Fish Lake Valley. There's a hot spring, actually a hot well down there. He went down there and Walter Brown took a bath in the hot well for a while. Went and stopped at what they called an old spring up there, Cave Springs. And he went into this house, which I've been there many times. He went in there, and by the time he got to Silver Peak, Nevada, which was just over this range, what they call Cowley Pass, and down into Silver Peak, he was infected with this virus, and he died before they could get him to the hospital. And he was a 38-year-old man in his prime. A deadly plague. That's a plague. And it says in the eschaton. Eschaton. What do we have? What is the term before last plagues?
Eschatology.
That word eschatology comes right from this Greek word. The last things, the last plagues. The things, the last. And he spoke. And this word, eleison there, he spoke. Third person singular, first terrace, and dig deep active. He spoke. And this word comes to the root is laleo. And this angel spoke. Well, what's he doing here, Brother Ken? Laleo. There's lego, aroton, many Greek words for speaking, but what does laleo mean?
That's a root from Lego, right?
Oh, it comes from Laleo. Okay? Lego is to speak, put words in a row.
Yeah.
All right? But what does Laleo mean? Brother Jim, you remember?
You put your own personal mouth.
By human speech. This angel spoke by the way of human speaking. He spoke with his lips, his tongue, his mouth, the roof of his mouth, his vocal cords, all of this. They were hearing him speak in human language, is what it means. He spoke with me in human language. with the emphasis of speaking, which is his mouth. Okay? With me saying. And this word here, the word saying, legon, that's an obvious singular present participle in Latin. That word comes from lego. And what does lego mean? These are two Greek words, two different Greek words for speaking.
Word.
Lego means to pick out.
Line up.
To pick out, line up. What's the Greek or Hebrew equivalent?
The bar.
The bar. All right. And that means to set in a row. When you speak and use your memory of words, Bill's a salesman there. He can talk the Blue Street. Isn't that right? I mean, he can take words out of his memory and just put them in a roll and tell you stories and things just one right after the other. He's good at it. Lining your thoughts up and conveying them from your mind to somebody else. That's what the word Lego means. All right? Now, he spoke with his mouth and he lined up words and used human speech. Okay? Spoking, and it said, come, I shall point out to you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, who's this bride?
Church.
True, this bride will be made up of true New Testament churches that lived during the church age. That's this bride. True New Testament churches that lived and occupied the church age. Now, when did the church age begin? Young lady, would you tell me when the church age? Where did it begin? Topographically.
Well, was it the day of Pentecost?
No. There in Galilee and along the Jordan River. Jordan River comes right out of Galilee. That was his assembly. That assembly was baptizing people before Pentecost, wasn't it? That assembly had even gone out on a limited commission before that. That assembly even had a treasurer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It had workers. Yes.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I've always said that it all started back at the Jordan River. And the day of Pentecost, how can you add on to something that does not already exist?
The church was empowered
at the day of
Pentecost by the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the business of the church during the church age. All right? And if you want to apply this back historically, the Shekinah glory of God came upon the church at the day of Pentecost. The Shekinah glory of God. And God took possession and empowered that church. When Moses built the tabernacle in his day, the tabernacle was completely finished. And then God, with the Shekinah glory, just absolutely immersed that whole assembly there and took possession of that tabernacle. What happened when Solomon built the temple? God did the same thing. The temple was already built. It was standing. It was there. And then God took possession of it and empowered it and engulfed it, baptized it, immersed it by His Shekinah glory. And the same thing happened there at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. God took possession. God immersed that assembly by His Shekinah glory and power that day. And it was a lot more than that. And he came out of the seven angels, this one did. I shall point out to you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. What is this word Lamb here, the irony old? What's this Lamb? What's this word Lamb mean? There's a lot of words for Lamb, too, isn't there? In the Greek. This is the Lamb that was marked for sacrifice. When was Jesus marked for sacrifice? As the Lamb of God.
Beginning of time.
Before the beginning of time, it says in eternity past that Jesus stood as a lamb slain. This lamb, that's a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. This is that lamb. Mm-hmm. 21 and verse 10. We'll look at this just a little bit. Kai?
Kai.
Often me. Can. May. That's the word me there. See that? Me or may. That's where our word me comes from. En. Pneumati. Epi. Oros. Mega. Chi. Upsilon. Chi. Adexon. Moi. Pain. Polin. Pain. Hagion. Arushalim. Katabinusen. Ek. Tu. Uranu. Apu. Tu. Theo. All right. And he carried away me in the spirit. Remember what I told you in the beginning of the book of Revelation? We're in the 24th chapter now. But John was the first time traveler. God experiences all time now. He inhabits eternity. And this is the best way and the only way that I know to tell you how this happens. John looked ahead in time. These two boundaries here, from there to there, represent everything in time, eternity. Okay? Now, right here is time as we know it, as man knows it, the 6,000 years that we've been upon this earth, right here. Now, John was taken up and shown what would happen here and here and here during this whole period of time right here, right up here in the beginning of the church age, in about 100 A.D., about 70 years after Pentecost or so, he was taken up and shown what would happen. And he saw it with his eyes. He was a time traveler. God took him into eternity. Or God inhabits eternity. How many of you have ever watched the Rose Parade or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes they'll take you up and they have a balloon up there or something, and you can see one end of that parade and you can see the other end of it, the whole parade, can't you? Mm-hmm. As a shot from the blimp or whatever. That's the way God looks to eternity. He can see all of it at the same time. That's how Jesus stood as a lamb slain, right here. And that's how John looked ahead in time to the last times, the eschatology of the time that we're talking about right now. John saw it because he stood with God and looked at it as God looks at it from eternity. God inhabits eternity. That's the kind of God that gave us the Word of God that is so beautiful. That's the kind of God that perfected your salvation. He carried me in spirit upon a mountain, great and high. The word mountain, it's a type. And what is the word mountain in the Bible typify? Governments. The government of God. The holy mountain of God. His high place. And he pointed out to me the city, the holy Jerusalem. The city. Our word police, polity, and all this, this comes from the word polin in Greek. Polity. It's the city. Politics didn't come from that word. How you run a city. And then it's national. Worldwide. The city. The holy. The word holy. This word comes from hagios. And hagios comes from two Greek words. Mm-hmm. What's that? What's those two Greek words? Yeah. Alpha and gay. Gay means earth. And alpha always means, in the front of a word, when we looked at those that were unbelieving, it was a-pieces. Now here we have a-gay. Not of earth. When you're born again, when you're born the first time, you're born condemned to die. When you're born again, you're a citizen of heaven, not of earth. You're holy. That's different. That's this word right here. This holy city, not the one over there in the Middle East, not that Jerusalem, but this holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. What a beautiful, beautiful place to quit. New Jerusalem. That city. You sung a song about Jerusalem tonight, didn't you? Jerusalem. Jerusalem has moaned and groaned under many, many trials and catastrophes. This Jerusalem will never have sin walked into it. It will never be touched by anything corrupt because it is the one that comes out of heaven down to earth. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. Thank you for all of you coming. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we do thank you for this time that we can gather together and hear your word. Lord, we are so thankful your word has been set down straight, unchanging, inspired, written down for us to study. Lord, we thank you for good and honest teachers that doing that really well. Spend this time to help us to learn how to understand your word. God, may we take what we learn here and apply it to our lives, to those that we meet. Lord, bring us back together again. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.